Hello everyone, thanks for being here.
My name is Shu Fang. I'm a first year PhD from University of Florida. I'm working on the nutrient management. It's a part of a project from the multi-institutional project on high-tunnel organic oil production, which focuses on the nutrient environmental control, nutrient management, pests and disease management, and the economic variability in Florida and Georgia. Firstly, just to give you an idea where this work was done. Florida is a sunshine state and is the warmest state in the United States. Well, you may have a different opinion when you arrive here. According to the plant hardness zone map, you can see the average annual extreme minimum temperature ranges from minus 10 degrees to 7 degrees. The average air temperature is about 21 Celsius degree. The farming system in Florida is challenged by the pressure of high humidity, frequent rainfall, which often results in high disease pressure and pest damages. Well, after seeing the temperature, the growing interest using protected agriculture in Florida is growing. From a recently survey, the use of protected agriculture in fresh fruit and vegetable induction is increasing. Among them, the high tunnel is a major effective tool for site-specific interest in Florida. However, the organic production of the high tunnel is in Florida, its information is very limited. Firstly, as you know, high tunnel production is unheated, passively ventilated greenhouse-like structures. But compared with the greenhouse, the cost is much lower. The high tunnel can be used to extend the growing season. By control over the microenvironment, it can reduce selected pest and disease pressures. On the other hand, there are many studies indicating the high tunnel production can improve crop quality and yield. However, there are also some challenges of high tunnel production in Florida. The majority of the soil in Florida is sandy. It's difficult to hold water and nutrients. The high tunnel production has been more investigated in the cooler climate. So the research-based information in integrated nutrient management in subtropical climate is rather limited. This is a three-year project. We just finished our first year study, and this study is take place in these three bay newly constructed high tunnels on the certified organic land. The overall goal of this study is to investigate the effect of cover crop, compost, and fertilization with the crop rotation based on crop performance, nutrient availability, nutrient efficiency, and soil quality. We just finished our first year study. Here's the crop rotation schedule. In last fall, we have the cowpea cover crop and from mid-August to early October. After we terminate the cowpea, we have the pak choi seedling transplanted in each plot. After it's growing for 32 days, we directly seeded the spinach into each plot. And this spring, we have the tomato in each plot to finish the crop rotation schedule. But today, my talk only focused on the pak choi and spinach. In this preliminary study, the objective is firstly to determine the influence of integrated nutrient management practice involving cover crop and compost on nutrient dynamics and crop performance in organic high tunnel systems. Secondly, is to assess nutrient accumulation as affected by cover crop, compost, organic fertilizer in high tunnel organic vegetable production. This is we use randomized complete block design with split plot with three applications. Each high tunnel I use a one replication. The cover plots I use as a whole plot factor. Half of the high tunnel are planted with the cover crop. Half of the high tunnel are kept fallow. Secondly, the fertilization is I use the subplot factor, which including pre-plant fertilizer with in-season fertigation with liquid fertilizer. The rate for the pre-plant and liquid fertilizer is the same. Lastly, compost were used as a subplot factor, which including yard waste compost, 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 vermicompost, and no compost control. Those three composts are all locally available and widely used by the organic farmers. In this slide, I want to show you some basic information about nutrient manufacturers. You can have a general idea how much biomass we input into to the each plot of the cover crop. For the compost, here's the information about the feedstock, the nutrient analysis, and the C2N ratio, and the application we use in this project. Lastly, for the organic fertilizer, there's some information about the product we use. For the pak choi cultivar we use in this study, it's a mating choi. The seedling were produced in the greenhouse for about 24 days before it get big enough to be transplanted into a high tunnel. After it grew for about 30 days, we harvest the pak choi in mid-November. After we finished the pak choi trial, we didn't add any additional fertilizer or compost to the spinach trial. We'd want to know what the carryover effect from the pak choi to the spinach. The spinach was direct seeded into each plot 3 days after the pak choi season. We have our first harvest before the Christmas break by cutting the spinach leaf 1 centimeter above the soil line, and we leave it to grow for about one more month, and we have the second harvest in the mid-January. The data I want to present here including firstly, the nitrogen availability in the soil at the depth 0 to 15 centimeters. And we have the soil sampling weekly in the pak choi trial and a biweekly soil sampling in spinach trial. And we measure the nitrogen from all soil samples. Then the crop yield and plant biomass. We have only have one harvest in the pak choi trial, but we have soil sampling weekly throughout the season until the final harvest. For the spinach, we have two harvests. Next, we have the, based on the above ground plant tissue nutrient analysis, we calculate the nutrient accumulation. Today, I will focus on the NPK nutrient accumulation. For the data analysis, we use SAS, GLEMIX procedure, with the Tukey's test at a significant level 0.05. For the result, because we didn't find this significant interaction between the different factors, so I'm going to talk about the major effects. In this graph, the take-home message is that for the interaction between the cover crop and the fallow, we found significant difference at the 1 week after transplanting of the pak choi. For the fertilization, the pre-plant has showed a significant effect on the nitrogen than the liquid fertilization in the earlier season, but the liquid fertilization catch up after 2 weeks of pak choi transplantation. We didn't find significant difference in different compost. Next is the soil nitrogen changes during spinach growth. The take-home message here is that we found the liquid fertilization, so significantly increased in the pre-plant at the first harvest. However, in the second harvest, we found a significant increase in the pre-plant treatment than the liquid fertilization. For the compost, we didn't find significant difference. However, there are some time points it shows some compost has a trending effect than the no compost control. Next is the fresh weight of pak choi during the season. The take-home message here is that the liquid fertilization results in significantly higher plant weight during the later season. Secondly, for the compost, the yard waste compost showed significantly effect in the no compost control in the last two sample days. Next, by adding the yield of the two Spanish harvests, we found the trending effect from the cover crop in the fallow, and we found a significant increase from the yard waste compost and the no compost control. Next, for the NPK accumulation in pak choi, the result is similar with the plant biomass. The pre-plant fertilization showed a higher significance in the early season, but the liquid fertilization catch up after 2 weeks of fertilization. For the compost, it's interesting to find the yard waste compost showed a significantly higher effect than the worming compost at 21 days after transplantation. Next, for the P accumulation, the result is similar than the N accumulation, except we also found the yard waste compost showed a significantly higher effect than the no compost at 28 days. Lastly, the K accumulation, the result is also the same, except that we found an earlier trend in the yard waste compost and the 14 days of application. Next is the NPK accumulation in Spanish. The cover crop showed a trending effect in the N accumulation in Spanish. Next is the P accumulation. We found significantly higher effect of the cover crop. Lastly, for the K accumulation, we have the same result here. So to sum up, in our first year study, we found the cowpea cover crop has no significant effect on crop yield and NPK accumulation in pak choi compared to fallow control. Secondly, cowpea cover crop tended to increase Spanish yield and N accumulation and lead to significantly higher P and K accumulation in Spanish. Overall, the liquid fertilization resulted in higher soil nitrogen yield and NPK accumulation of pak choi than pre-plant fertilization. The liquid fertilization may provide a more readily available nutrient to the plants. Lastly, the yard waste compost led to significantly higher pak choi and Spanish yield and tended to increase NPK accumulation in pak choi compared to no compost control. It's a constant challenge to meet crop nutrient demand at various stages. We didn't find, by comparing the results from the cover crop to the pak choi and Spanish, we didn't see significant results from the cover crop to the pak choi, but we finally see some effect during the final harvest in the Spanish. Secondly, the roles of cover crop and compost in building organic nutrient management progress needs to be further explored. We just finished our first year study of using cover crop fertilization and a different compost. And next, we just studied the second year. It may tell us more information about the short and long-term influence on soil quality and nutrient dynamics in the next year. With that, I want to thankful for the USDA, NIFA, to the funding of this project, and also thankful for all the people have with my work. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, one brief question.
Sure.
In organic production systems, a lot of the time the effects end up kind of, like, it takes longer.
Mm-hmm.
To show up. So
yeah.
What do you think is going to happen in the next few years?
Yeah, this is a good question. The question is about my expectation for the longer effect. I think maybe for the early later season we can see some effect for the cover crop is what I'm expecting, because it's a newly built heternal. It didn't have any crush up in the beginning. So, and also the organic matter in the soil may be low. And so the first year we didn't see its effect. And also this spring we had the tomato. We also didn't see the its further effect for the tomato season. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.